Hi, everyone, and welcome to the special simulcast of the Neil Haley Show and the Love Is Podcast. I'm excited to welcome the host of the Love Is Podcast, Kim Sorrell. Kim, how are you? I know you're excited about our guests. I got the chance to chat with them years ago on radio tours, but I mean, they're doing some amazing things, a continued growth, and Kim, introduce our guests.
Yes, I have been so excited about our guests today, Neil. Corey, I adore you. Willie, you're great, but Corey, you're my girl. Let me tell you about Willie and Corey Robertson from Duck Dynasty, but not just from Duck Dynasty, from so many things. You guys have done so many things. Got a new movie coming out, The Blind, that we're going to talk about. I am so pleased to meet you both and so impressed with the things that you do. You've got this great family, and they're a great family because you worked at it. You know, families don't just become great, but you guys have put in the work, you put in the hours, written some great books about it. You've helped so many other families along the way with great advice and just giving of yourselves in so many ways. And you must be one of the busiest families on the face of the earth. Like, what is life like for you? Is it crazy?
Well, first of all, thank you. I feel like that was the nicest introduction we've ever had. That was so great. Thank you so much. Yeah, life is a little bit crazy and busy. It's, I always say, it's never boring in the Robertson house, that's for sure. There's always something happening. We have a big family and it just is growing by the second, it feels like. We've got another grandbaby due this month. So yeah, life's happening and got a lot of fun projects going on as well.
How do you keep everything organized in the house so it doesn't become a chaos, or it's organized chaos, I'm sure.
Organized chaos, yes. And lots of help. Everybody pitches in. Everybody does their thing. Willie's the cook in the house. He keeps the kitchen organized and going. And when he's gone, that part all falls apart. I'm eating, like, you know, whatever piece of toast I can find or whatever when he's out of town.
Apples and peanut butter are kind of
exactly.
My go-to.
Yes.
Kind of nice to have a cook in the house. So grandparenting, parenting and grandparenting. I remember before my first child was born, everybody would say, oh, just wait, just wait. And I thought, oh, I already love the baby. You know, what are you talking about? Just wait. And then my child was born and I went, did my mom love me like this? Like, it was right. You remember that feeling?
Yes. Well,
and then grandparenting, you know, people would say, just wait. And I'm like, oh, I've got kids. I know what it feels like. And then when my first grandchild was born, it was like the moment my child was born times 10. Mm-hmm. Isn't it just the craziest? And you've got another one coming. So how many grandbabies does that make for you?
That'll be 7. And it's so fun. And Willie's the cutest granddad ever.
Yeah, we've got, they all live pretty close. So they're over at the house a lot for sure.
Yeah.
So Willie, how do you feel being called a granddad now and all that, you know?
Yeah, I don't mind it. I like it. Yeah. It's just, I can see so much of my kids and them. And so that's what makes it really neat. Also with a whole new lease on life as well. So yeah, they've all got their little personalities. And so just watching how they're starting to grow and, you know, who they remind me of, or if they're like even their mom or dad, which some of the moms or dad, we're still trying to get to know them. You know, it's been a few years just since they married in the family. So it's real fun. And yeah, it's just exciting to see where they're headed.
Awesome. Yeah, it can be interesting watching how your kids parent, right? I mean, it's a whole different thing. But those grandbabies, so I'm sure they have names for you. Did they come up with what they call you, or did you want to be called something special? What do the kids call you guys?
Yeah, they call me Dubs, I guess, for Willie, for the W.
yes, Willie's Dubs, and I'm KK. I started out K-Mama, and it just kind of evolved into KK. So I feel like we'll see which one sticks. But right now it's KK.
Yeah, I love that. I love it. I'm Uma, by the way, like Uma Thurman. So the first, isn't that cute?
Love,
you know,
it.
When my oldest so grandchild, cute, who now has graduated from high school, when they could talk, you know, you just say grandma. And it was, came out Uma. And so Uma has stuck.
That's it. Yeah. I love it.
So Willie, how do you think the brand from Duck Dynasty has become a lifestyle brand? How did you guys really kind of figure that out so that you make a difference in the world, but also become and get the word out so much? What do you think was that process from, you know, the success of the show to now a brand lifestyle?
Well, I think authenticity was a big key to it. You know, and I think people saw the show. They actually saw a lot of themselves in our show. Some of their family members, or, you know, it's funny. People tell me, like, my dad's just like your dad, or our mom's like your mom is, or, you know, we've got a crazy uncle, kind of like Uncle Si. And so they see the, like, even with Corey and I's life, with the, just all the busyness and, you know, with the kids and trying to run a business. And so I think people did see themselves in there, but they also saw things perhaps that they wanted to strive to do. Probably just the simplest was the family dinner. It just seemed like so many people have gotten away from that, and they, you know, everybody tends to be running and gunning, and, you know, they just don't sit and have those times to share. And so, and with the family prayer also, you know, at the end of the show, so some of it was just kind of, I guess, old timey things. And so it, as far as a brand goes, it allowed us to take that, you know, to show people more and help people more, and, you know, and put that in, to products or books or podcasts or whatever that is. You know, it's that, you know, that kind of faith and family kind of idea mixed in along with your business, which is kind of what the show was about.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. You know, I think part of what made it so special in my mind is that you did so openly share, that it wasn't something that you hid. You know, I feel like in so many shows, you know, they try to stay away from talking about Jesus, talking about things of faith at all. And for you guys to just be so open and share your hearts is, I think, such a key component, because we need to hear it more. People need to know that it's okay to share. Like, don't shy away from it. Just wear your heart on your sleeve and be the person, be authentic and be the person that you are. And you guys definitely have captured that, you know, authenticity, which is rare. I think it's rare. I think when you have something going, when you're doing it, it seems like, well, everybody's like this, you know, this is just normal behavior, but it's not. I'm here to tell you, it's not. You guys are the real deal. And you don't see that a ton. And I appreciate that a lot about you. And so the roots, though, that you came from, Willie, the movie, The Blind, is incredible, first of all. But the story of your parents, and did your grandson play you in the movie?
He did. Yeah, my oldest son's son played me in the movie, which was really neat to see me being portrayed as a 2-year-old from my grandson. So yeah, that was one of the really cool parts. And we had a couple of parts in the movie like that, where people played different folks from our family, for different people in there. And so, yeah, that was real neat. And as far as what you said about the show, is that which also is about the movie as well, which is, we're, you know, we try to act a certain way because that's what we learn from the Bible. That's what we learn from the teachings of Jesus. And so it comes up a lot. So it was going to be really hard to film a show or talk to us, I think, very long without hearing where faith, you know, that faith element's going to come through, because it's how we manage our lives is through that, you know. And so if someone gets a little off kilter, someone else will remind them, you know, hey, this is what the Bible says about this. And, you know, and so that just, and in our life, it's constant. And I'm sure in everybody's life, it's constant. And if you don't have that foundation to go to, if you don't have that, you know, word to go to, I can see how people's lives could really get messed up and, you know, going on the wrong path. And so, which is where with The Blind, you know, it's the portrayal of where Phil's life and mom's life at one point in life did not have that. And so how that train just skidded off the tracks and crashed big time in numerous ways. But, you know, the biggest was their marriage, because had that not stayed together, then our whole lives will look different. You know, we wouldn't be on this podcast or this thing today. You know, we wouldn't be here because there would be no business. There would have been no show, you know, and who knows? So it's really the appreciation. I think even the dinner scenes on Duck Dynasty for us was always an appreciation that the family stayed together, you know, that dad was sitting at the end of the table because there was a time when he wasn't. And that's what the movie really portrays, that and shows that, man, this thing could have went either way. And I think a lot of people see that in their lives. And hopefully it'll help people to realize you're never too far. You can be redeemed. And so, yeah, it's a tougher movie. It's tough because it's not like Duck Dynasty. Duck Dynasty is I feel like it's the good of what happened by this painful stuff in the past. And, but again, we just wanted to share it with, with the world and say, hey, here it is. And here was our family. This is, you know, it worked out good. God is good. And, but here's a time in our family's life that didn't look good.
Yeah. There's an episode of Duck Dynasty that, I think still holds the title for the most watched unscripted show of all time. And that's the episode it's titled Told Duck Do His Part. And it's the episode where Phil and Kay renew their vows. And it was such a special moment for our family. And, you know, looking back, I haven't watched that episode in a long time, but I remember the day we did that, we were all very emotional because we knew that, you know, had Phil and Kay not had this moment that the movie portrays where, you know, their life turned around and they chose to stay together. You know, they chose repentance and forgiveness, which is hard things. Those are two really hard things to choose, but they chose those two things and they kept their family together. And had that not happened, we would not be sitting there on Duck Dynasty, you know, making a show where they renewed their vows. So it was really special to our family. Then it was special that it became kind of the most watched unscripted show of all time and I think that also spoke to what people want to see, you know, in this world. I think entertainment so much is dark and tears families apart and things like we watch these train wrecks. But really, whenever we did our show, I think it spoke to like we're all wanting to see something positive and hopeful and faith filled and all that. And while The Blind does show the hard times, it shows the train wreck, but it shows that redemption and that turn and what can happen in your life when you do turn your life to Jesus.
Wow. You know, having this story out here, was it a challenge to say that as a family to come up with to do this project? Because then it's really going into the darker side that you don't see always on the reality show. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. We talked about it with the production company and we were like, is this what we want to start out with, you know, which is the story of Phil and Kay. And obviously we had to talk to them to see if they wanted to share with the world their darkest times in life, which is very difficult. You know, I think in Christianity and the church, even, you know, we're taught, you know, once your past is in the past and you look forward and you don't look back. And so there's all these principles, I think that are good principles for anyone to live by. But for them, you know, to be able to even to go back there, you know, mentally and as a couple and to be able to put that out and deal with that pain again was difficult. And, but you know, at the end of the day, mom and dad said, well, if it helps someone else, you know, if it can help their marriage or if it can help their family stay together or if it can help someone who has really lost all hope. And I'm sure we all probably know those people or we are those people. And so to be able to put that out to help and Phil and Kay have always been like that. You know, they've always been open. There's nothing in the movie I saw that I haven't heard them say, you know, firsthand, you know, to a lot of people. And so they've really been open with their lives and sharing it. And, but I will say it's a little more difficult seeing it in pictures and seeing it with people playing it out. And so I was just thankful that they did share that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it takes a lot of guts, I think. Corey, hopefully I didn't just cut you off, but it takes a lot of guts. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people, everybody goes through hard times, but some people go to the very bottom, you know, really just hit rock bottom. And that's pretty much what happened. Like it could have, like you've said a couple times, gone one way or the other. And you never want to think about if it would have gone the other way. So praise the Lord, it went the way that it did. But for your folks, for your family to be that open and really share, I know that this film is going to help people. It's definitely going to help marriages. It's definitely going to help people strengthen their faith. And I love you talking about your family dinners because coming together and sharing a meal, there is something just so special about that. And it's almost a lost tradition. I grew up with Sunday dinners, you know, it was always Sunday dinner was a big deal. And I love those Sunday dinners. But I don't know many families that are doing that anymore. When did you guys start? Like, when did the dinner tradition start for you in your home and what does it really mean to you?
Well, for us, we, in our family, we did that a lot. We had most meals together. we were poor. We lived at the end of a dead end street road, dirt road, beside a river. And so there wasn't a lot of options. We didn't have a lot of money. And so we didn't eat out that much. And
no one was delivering down
there. No one was delivering food.
No DoorDash. Yeah,
no DoorDash down there. No.
Yeah, it was many miles before even a gas station. And so, yeah, you just had to prepare. And part of eating out as well, you know, mom could cook really well and dad could cook. So it was, you know, I think we liked our food anyway, the way we cooked it better. So, we had those meals and we had those times, and there was it wasn't organized story time, but it was just natural story time. There just wasn't a lot of distractions. There wasn't many TV channels. We didn't have any computers or anything like that. So it was just, that was the time to really catch up. And, I say catch up, it's just time to talk about what happened throughout the day. And so they were great storytellers, my grandparents as well. And so we, as kids, we just sit around and listen, you know, and get our chance to tell a story, you know, and we'd talk about what hunt we had just done, or the fish, or how it happened today, you know, with the nets and how many they caught. And generally we were eating exactly what was being talked about, you know, but that had been cleaned and now it's on the table. That was ours. And it was really always that. There was never a time you took your plate and went anywhere else except for the table. I just remember that wasn't really allowed. You took your place at the table, and it wasn't like, I'm going to eat this by the TV. I don't ever remember anyone doing that one time growing up, which is amazing.
I think growing up for their family, it was kind of an essential because they lived down on the river. Food wasn't, you had to cook, you know, there wasn't like you could order pizza or whatever. And so it was an essential part of their life. But nowadays you have to create that. Like, you have to make space for that and be intentional about it. And so it was really interesting when we did the show, we had that dinner scene at the end because that is important to our family. And we love that time together as a family. And also we, hunt for, and that's kind of like the idea of showing that, you know, circle of life, it is part of a way of life and what we do. But we had that, not really realizing the impact that it would make. But after that show, the show came out, so many people came to us and said, because of your family, because of the show, our family now is being intentional about having a prayer and sitting together around the table. So we really just saw the impact of entertainment, which kind of led us to the production company that we have now. We started Tread Lively Productions because of that, because we just saw that, like, oh, just that little thing, that small thing that seems small to us of having a prayer and a time around the table made such an impact in a lot of families' lives. And people would come up with tears in their eyes and tell us about how it had impacted their family because they're being intentional about that time together. And that led us to say, like, okay, like, what else can we do? What else should we be doing? You know, a lot of times we can complain about entertainment and be like, oh, there's nothing good and there's nothing I can watch as a family. But like, do we have this opportunity to actually do something about that and make more entertainment that is positive and wholesome and has elements of faith in it and hope and love and all those things that, you know, we feel like our world is yearning for.
Wow. You know, and have you guys gotten a chance to see the film yet? What were your thoughts on it?
Yes. So we actually produced it ourselves. So we were like very involved. We were on set for most of it. We got to, you know, help do casting. We really, we were involved in every little piece of it. So I've seen it lot of times, a lot of cuts. The first cut that came through, honestly, the first, you know, kind of the long version, we were like, oh no, like we screwed this up. This is what's going to happen, you know? And then it just, after a lot of work, a few days of reshoots and all that, we're like, okay, we have something really, really special. So we're very proud of it. But yeah, it's been a lot of that was just, process.
A lot of that was just trying to get the story, even just so we can make it palatable for people to watch and not be rated R, you know, because it was Dad was a rated R kind of guy, so probably more than that, but so it was just hard to show and be real, you know. We didn't want to water this down and make it into some cheesy thing where everything seemed to go well, because most of the stories we heard were not good. You know, it's like, well, you know, it's tough stuff. And so yeah, just trying to make that into a movie to where people could bring their, you know, their kids to, you know, and I said kids, I mean like mature kids. And so where they could watch it, learn from it, but also just not be so bad that it's like, whoa, you know, this is too much.
I think that idea that people are looking for both positivity and hope and all that, but they're also looking for real and raw and authentic and not, you know, pretending like there's something that they're, that you're not. That whole Instagram versus reality kind of thing is just like, so as a family, to us, it's important that we do show all of the story, you know, because I think some people can look at a family that has like success or fame, or like, oh, they all just love each other. You know, that's not my story. But we want to say like, no, our story was not all perfect in this upward trajectory towards fame. You know, our story involved probably a lot of the things that your story involves as well, you know, but there is a point in your life where you can decide that you're going to make a change, and you're going to make a change for that will affect generations. And we've seen that in our family, like that change that Phil and Kay made has affected generations already. Cause now we've got grandbabies, like we talked about the first of the show.
Right. Yeah. You know, I hear what you're saying, and it's so, so true. Like everybody has their crap, right? Everybody goes through tough times. Everybody's got something that they go through. And I think it's so wonderful when people go through a tough time, come out on the other end, and then use it for good, like you guys are doing, like what the movie's going to do, but what you guys do in general in your lives every day. And there's just something special about that, because people can stay in the bad and kind of wallow in it, or they can make the choice of saying, mm-hmm. no, like this can help other people. And what I learned, because you got to learn from it, right? So what I learned can help somebody else. And this movie touches on so many things. You know, it's not just the fact that your folks almost divorced. It's why did they? And then, you know, the coming to the Lord and the huge transformation that happened, but addictions that are a part of so many people's lives. And to play that out on a screen, you know, with alcohol is not, how hard was that? That seems like it would not be an easy thing to do.
Yeah. Phil has said several times throughout this process, I'm embarrassed, you know, by that time in my life. And so that it is different. You know, I feel like we mentioned that they've shared these stories so many times, and we've seen the impact of these stories. There's a scripture in the Bible that talks about like God's glory is revealed through the power of your testimony. You know, it is our testimony shows how amazing God is. You know, the fact that we can come from like death to life shows the power of God. And so, you know, he's given his testimony. He's told that story so many times, and Kay has as well, but it's one thing to do that, and then another thing to see it on a screen. And there was one podcast, we did a podcast kind of as a family where we talked about and really told a lot of these stories. And Sadie, actually, our daughter Sadie, was interviewing Phil on this one. And she said, what do you think about the actor who played you? And Phil said, not much. And we were like, oh no, what? and then we realized he was meaning like, I didn't think much of that guy on the screen. Like when he saw himself on the screen in that time of his life, he didn't like it. You know, he didn't want to see that part of his life. But again, he's gone back to, but if it can help somebody, if this can impact somebody's life, if somebody life turns their life around because they've seen me at my worst, then it's worth it.
That's fantastic. That's the thing of telling these transformational stories. And Kim has a transformational story about love. Go ahead, Kim, with your question before we finish up.
Yeah. So my story is that I've been in business people, just like you guys, my whole life. Started my first business when I was 18, married the man of my dreams, and was very happily married, just became empty nesters. And I found out I had breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And then 4 months later, my husband was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and he passed away 6 weeks after that. And it made me question some things. And one of the things was the reality of love, the true meaning of love, because it seems like you can get 10 people in the room and get 10 different definitions, but yet John says God is love. So not that God loves, but God is love. So we should be love, right? But what does that mean? I wanted to really honor my husband by living right, by making sure I'm doing this life right. So I dedicated a year to figuring out the true meaning of love, which, to be honest with you guys, I have a hard time really committing to what pair of shoes I'm going to wear that day. So to commit a year to something was a real stretch for me. And but I took the love chapter, you know, love is patient, love is kind, 1 Corinthians 13. And I took one word a month and figured out what is love that is patient, what is love that is kind. And the majority of the time I was in Haiti, I was working in Haiti after the earthquake, and so that's where I was doing my research. And the things that I found out about love blew my mind, rocked my world out, and changed my life. And I think love so often is misunderstood, but I look at you guys and I look at your family, and if there is, certainly there's more than one common thread, but it seems to me the biggest common thread is love. Like, you guys exude it. You exude it for each other. You exude it for others as well, not just each other. And where does love, what does love mean to you guys? And where does it play the role in your life? Where is it?
I think that's great. Yeah, yeah, I would probably start with 1 Corinthians 13. That'd mm-hmm. be a great place to start as far as, you know, how we try to encompass love and what that is. And you're right, it's a broad word. And so it's thrown around for a lot of different things. And so I think the true meaning, which what comes back for us is, you know, the love that Christ showed, you know, for us, and then trying to implement that in our own lives. And so, and that's where I think that's the message Phil heard. That's the message Kay heard, that turned them around in that story. And, Dad ran it as close as he could. And I always used to think, like, man, my testimony is not near as powerful as Phil's, but I'm actually very thankful that it's not, you know, that I didn't have to take it all the way to the edge. And so we love hearing those stories, but then again, you know, not having to go through that and realizing that that was the love. And then there was a deep love that Kay had that she committed to her marriage to say, I'm going to stick this out, you know, for 10 years, sticking that out. The love for not just Phil, which was probably, I'm sure, waning at the time, but it was the love for us, for her children, knowing that it would be best if we stayed together and that we, you know, had our father in our home. And so, and not that God's love can't cover that and new things be created and God can fix our messes that we make. We're just fortunate that this one and then all of it was rooted in love, from the message to the family to all that. We saw that actually lived out. It wasn't just said, it was actually lived out.
Oh, wow. Where the movie again comes out, as I'm looking at it, it comes out in theaters on September 28th, and people can find information on the film. Where can they go?
And go to theblondmovie.com. And yeah, we're so excited for it to come out, for people to see it. It's going to be in theaters all over. And, you know, one of the things that we found out is super helpful for films like these, like independent films like these, if you go ahead and pre-buy your ticket. So you can do that on theblondmovie.com. You can type in your city and your state, and it'll tell you exactly what theater. And if you pre-buy your ticket, that helps a ton, helps us to get in more theaters, get the word out there even more.
All right. Fantastic, guys. We appreciate it. Again, that was a special simulcast of the Neil Haley Show and the Love Is Podcast, guys. Take care.